I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
How lit is your life? And yes, those of you under 25, I mean it both ways. How lit is your life? I mean both how illuminated and understood is your life and how awesome is your life, because they really are the same thing. Because how much light you have determines how awesome things are. That is just true. And so as a teenager, I thought that I had this figured out. I understood this. And I became that guy. You know that guy? That guy. Oh, yes. I should say right now, some people asked me at first service, that's not actually me. I was never that thin or handsome. But I became that guy. You know the one, the bearded philosopher, hipster who hunt, you know, he just lives in coffee houses. That was this guy. And I love to hold court and just give these big, long speeches about how I had this deep revelation and solved the mysteries of the universe because I saw this episode of The Simpsons. Or maybe I listened to some Rush album and everything was just totally clear now. And on occasion, I would read something like Plato and I'd go, I get it. We're in the Matrix. But it's been 20 years. It's 20 years later, and I am pleased to say that I have put this pretentious know-it-all to death. And I have become a little more honest and realistic as a know-it-not who's trying to listen a lot more than he's trying to speak. However, this week I had an interesting experience because my 16-year-old went and had an assignment at school where he had to write a paper on Plato's allegory, The Cave. And as he was reading it to me, it was wonderful, had all this stuff that just came flooding back to me, and my hipster ears just perked right up, and I went, yeah, I totally remember this. I remember how cool this was and how I worked out this big, long metaphor, how it worked, and I totally understood it and everything, and that I was the greatest. But something else happened at the same time that had never happened before, which is my Christian ears perked up. And all of a sudden, I heard it in a completely different way, and I noticed that the real appeal of this old spark was the hidden truth of the Lord's light. I don't think that's what Plato was going for, but it was in there. In his story, Plato, like a lot of us, perceived the problem but missed the meaning. He nailed it down. He was right. That was the state of affairs, but he did not have the total picture. Because God is in everything. And if that is true, without God, without the Lord's light, we only see a partial picture. You just can't see it all without him. So, real quick, here's the story. Here is Plato's The Cave, okay? Plato imagines a cave with three prisoners who their entire life have been chained up facing a wall so that they can't move anything. They cannot even move their head to look around them. And behind them, there's a wall and a walkway, and past that, there's a fire and then the entrance to the cave that provides light and everything. So people would walk around and pass behind them carrying various objects, and their shadows would appear on the cave wall that the prisoners faced. So that would be all that they saw. And the prisoners, therefore, would name the shadows. That's a dog. That's a jug. And then they would guess their purpose. This was the game that they played, believing that these things were the real objects and that this cave wall was the real world. But one day, a prisoner is freed. One of them gets out, and he turns to see the light and the real objects that actually cast the shadows. And so after fighting through like disbelief and confusion and the pain of the light on these eyes that have never seen it and everything, he slowly realizes the truth, sees how they all work together, what was really happening, what the shadows are, what the real things are, what cast the light. And so returning to the cave, the prisoner shares the reality of the light and the objects and the shadows, what they are, with all the other prisoners and says, don't you get it? So let's get out of here. And the other prisoners not only tell him to pipe down, But they say, don't free us. We want to stay right where we are. And if you try and free us, we'll kill you. Wow. That is an interesting metaphor. And I'll tell you what, hipster Noah ate this up. What an enlightening metaphor. Humanity is totally super shallow, man. And only a few of us are really willing to endure the pain of real truth. And this whole lazy world just hates us because we're so great. That's how I heard it. Oh boy, oh boy, oh hipster Noah, you sweetly stupid and self-centered child. You will learn soon enough, hipster Noah, that the light of truth reveals how dim you are. That is its number one purpose. When you see that light of truth, you put anything next to it, it just reveals what's really going on. Because without it, without that light of truth, you can't know what you don't know, which leaves room for you to think that you're actually pretty smart because you don't know what you're missing. And Plato nailed that point for sure. Well done. We just can't help ourselves. We would rather have any explanation than no explanation. So we'll work with whatever it is that we have, whatever we've got, to get something, anything, and then we will lean on that something like it's truth. If you don't believe me, check it out. You're doing it right now. Right now, all we did was put a picture up here. Just showing you this picture, and it sets your mind in motion. You look at that, and you start to create a whole narrative. You start to make up a whole bunch of truths. Look, it's a couple. They're in love, probably a married couple. Look like they're maybe, I don't know, in their 30s, super, in, you know, need to see a hairstylist. Things are kind of going on there, not so great. That maybe they're married. Maybe they're married. Maybe they got a couple of kids, you know, perhaps. They might not have kids because they do look like they're still in love. But I mean, you can get a lot of what's going on there just from the picture, and it's about to be a tender moment, and I understand that. And I mean, it doesn't seem like that's wrong. That's not a stretch. That's reasonable. Because, you know, based on some information, we make assumptions about what's going on here. And then anything else that we get helps us build on that. Oh, another shadow. Oh, this is probably where they live. That's it. Yeah, they're, you know, they got the kids, so they're probably kind of like suburban, maybe off on one of those sides over there. In a reasonably sized, you know, there's a couple Starbucks and everything, maybe 125,000 people. I think I got a pretty decent picture of what's going on. But it's only the light of truth, of real truth, of actual truth, that can show you how right or how wrong you are. And they can further reveal that our assumptions might just be a pile of garbage. Because that's what these were. This is fascinating. This is an artist who does these all the time. All they are piles of garbage that they then cast a light on so that you get the shadow. That's not what I saw. And I don't think many people guess that, because that's not what you intuitively think. The shadow led me to believe something else. Oh boy, but that is what we do. We make up the narrative based on the things that we see, but they are incomplete because we do not have the light. So, you know, that's a great story. Makes sense. You know, and honestly, hipster Noah and his pal Plato were pretty much correct about the nature of truth and humanity. It is only if Jesus is the truth that they're a long way from being right. And if he is the truth, then there ought to be some parallels to Plato's point, because Plato's little metaphor worked out pretty good for truth. So if Jesus is the truth, we should be able to sort of plug him in and have it work. Now, I got to tell you, at the beginning of this, several days ago when I was just preliminarily reading through some scripture, I had this wonderful idea. Oh, I'm going to go through and I'm going to look for those scriptures that support this. And I found a few. I had a page, then I had 2 pages, then I had 6 pages, then I had like 15 pages of scripture that just seemed to be driving the point home. Yes, you can plug it in. Plato is not making this stuff up, you guys. This is how the truth works. And so I'm just going to throw some of them on the back here to show you that I'm not making it up. But there are some parallels, like maybe just a few scriptures that say things like, we know nothing and live in shadows. And it's misunderstood scripture that keeps us chained in sin and in darkness, waiting for Jesus, who was our fellow prisoner, who will return to save us. You know, all while we focus on the shadows with our partial sight to incorrectly guess what they are. But then those guesses, those incorrect guesses, we believe them. And we think that they're real when they're just merely symbols of a higher truth that are set aside for Jesus to reveal to us so that we can hear it and be led out into the light. That's the Bible. That's it. This is how it works, guys. He is truth, and we are looking at shadows until we're completely living in the light. And we can't live in the light until we let go of those shadows. Whatever you think you saw, whatever you called it, whatever story you made up, you got to be willing to let go of that if you want to go chase that light. Otherwise, we have to stop being know-it-alls. We got to start being the know-it-nots. We do not want to be that. Put hipster Noah in your mind and put a circle and a line through it. None of that. No know-it-alls, only know-it-nots. Or else we may miss the really big stuff. It might pass right by you while you're looking in the wrong direction. Oh, and then you might feel the pain of missing the escape that is right in front of your face because you chose to believe in the shadows over what is real. And that's rough. And as I was kind of like ruminating on this point, I was reading a bunch of scripture and a couple of stories I just saw in a new light this week that were completely different. And one of them jumped out at me as an illustration of this very thing about being completely focused on the wrong thing and missing what is real, being so close to it. And I want to read a couple things that just in a way that I've never heard it before. Starting in 1 Corinthians, it says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. And then we jump on the road to the cross, and we hear, when they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. Which is strange, because Paul tells us in Galatians, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. And later on, right after this, from the cross, Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Yeah, you're right. They don't. They were so shallow that they thought they were mocking him. But that was the shadow of the real. And while they focused on that, they missed the coronation of a king, and they were part of it. Unknowingly, they gave him the prize, the imperishable crown that made him king, and they fulfilled all scripture. They were part of it, and they didn't even see it right in front of their face, focusing on the shadows and missing what's real. That is a sobering thought. When we focus on this world of shadows, our eyes might miss the real things that are right next to us. We gotta look up. We gotta look up. And that can be tricky sometimes, but I got some good news for you. I've got the key. There's a really, really easy way to find out what's real. It is a foolproof method of seeing what's really going on everywhere, all the time, assuring that you're looking through the shadows and at what is real 100% of the time. What you can see what God is really up to, what he's doing in your life, what he's doing in this world, and what he's meaning in his word solves everything. And it's so easy. Are you ready for it? Just add Jesus. I'm telling you, this is going to be bigger than the What Would Jesus Do bracelets. Just add Jesus. It's the most stupidly simple thing that you can imagine. But that's us. So simple. Just add Jesus. Seriously, he is the beginning and the end of understanding everywhere, wherever there is confusion, period. Put Jesus in the middle of it and watch it clear up. Anywhere in your life, in some problem, in scripture where you don't have understanding, put Jesus in the middle of it and just watch it clear up. He's the answer. He's the fulfillment of every metaphor ever, including this whole place. Everything is a metaphor and it's fulfilled in knowing Jesus, because Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That is a profound truth. We are part of Christ. Are you perplexed? Are you depressed, angry, frightened? Just add Jesus. That's all you got to do. And you can watch the shadows just be absorbed into the light. You really got to try it. However, there is one condition that comes along with it to make this simple strategy work. You can't add you. Just add Jesus. Don't add you. Because you're just setting yourself up to feel the sting of being wrong. We have spent way too long staring at the shadows, guys. Everything that you bring to it is probably rooted in something false. You need to be listening and not speaking. Do not add your words. If you just stay quiet, just stay quiet and wait for something better than the shadows, then you're doing what you're supposed to do, and you won't lose anything when you are enlightened by the truth. Because it's only the people who put stock in the shadows that have something to lose when the light comes. And all this means we're not supposed to put our words in God's mouth. We are supposed to put his word in our mouth. That's it. If you want to be prepared, if you want to feel no sting when that truth comes, make sure the words that you're speaking are his and not yours. Because the cave is just a safe place for us to learn this lesson. Prison's purpose is not to hold you, it's to mold you. We're here on purpose to be taught the nature of freedom and the nature of truth and the nature of God, to give us an opportunity to choose the light of the Lord by rejecting the shadow of doubt. If you want your life to stay lit, just add Jesus. Seriously, to literally everything. And then be still and know that he is God. Decrease your words so his can increase. And only then will you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you can handle it, if you accept it, and if you follow it out of the shadows and into the light. Amen? Amen. Let's pray, guys. Father God, we love you and we seek you, knowing that you are always working to reveal what is real, even in this world of shadows. Holy Spirit, help us to see you and believe you so that we may be bold enough to accept our freedom and live real life. And Lord Jesus, you are our way out, and we thank you for your selfless patience as you continue to explain the escape plan to all of your kids. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.